And a happy 4th of July to you, Arizona homeowner. Thank you for tuning in to Rosie on the House. The Rosie Rooster, the cup of Dunkin' Donuts coffee, what could be better? Pretty nice morning this morning. Jennifer and I both noticed as we got up and walked our way out to the back patio this morning, I thought, ooh.
A little bit of a breeze.
Yeah, you know, not too sultry, kind of nice this morning. So
lovely.
If you're listening to us still in bed, that's fine. Relax for a little bit. We're going to have a lot of fun this hour. You know, one of the things we always talk about at Rosie on the House is having fun and making sure you're taking care of your house in a way that you can go accomplish things on your bucket list and you're not a slave to the repair and maintenance of your home. And I actually got to take something off my bucket list this week, which was kind of fun.
Did you even know it was on your bucket list?
It was. As soon as they asked me, it went on my bucket list. It had never been on my bucket list before they asked me.
Not many people get to do it, really.
But I think it's going to lead, and I'm by the response we're getting on Facebook, I think it's going to lead to a second career for me.
Seriously?
Yeah. You know, I did the opening pitch at the Diamondbacks game against the Rockies in Chase Field Thursday night, okay? So I want that job.
Which job?
Well, they have starting pitcher, okay. And then they have the relief pitcher, mm-hmm. And then they have the closing pitcher. Well, I think they need to get a new position open just for me called the opening pitcher.
You just like hearing your name up said real loud like that.
I like burning in that first pitch.
Burning?
You know, I was surprised who they gave me as catcher. I thought I would get some guy from the minor leagues or something. And Chase Anderson walks over and says, I'm a catcher. I thought, whoa. So I got assigned baseball by Chase Anderson out of the deal.
Well, the two things you wanted to accomplish, not bouncing and not looking like a girl. You're in good standing there.
I'm not sure that's how this went. That's not what I heard. Not at all.
I burned it in there, Mike.
See, this is kind of what I heard.
Mike.
Play ball.
Let's hope this guy doesn't go from giving out home improvement advice to giving up home runs.
His specialty is the Cajun curveball.
More like a Louisiana slow pitch.
Anything travels that far, I'd have a stewardess on it, don't you think?
Are you crying? Are you crying?
Just a bit outside.
There's no crying in baseball.
Hey.
You play ball like a girl.
Was my biggest fear.
You can judge for yourself. The video's on Facebook. We've had lots of views so far, 700, as a matter of fact. And you can watch it and see if you think you should.
Do you carry any of those little pink dismissal slips in your purse?
You want one for Mike?
Could you
don't even need one. He already
could
knows.
Could you just keep those on hand from now? You know, I have a nickname for how fast I cross the Grand Canyon, you know. You know what my nickname is for the Grand Canyon, right?
Is it anything Cajun slow pitch? No?
No. It's Rosie the Rocket.
Oh.
Well, on Facebook, there's a guy that saw my pitch. He said, Rosie, you should be Rosie the Rocket Launcher. Huh?
How many beers had he had at the game at that point? Just wondering.
Now, listen, here's somebody who's very nice on Facebook. Miss Judy says, how great is that? When I saw the score last night, I figured it was because they started the game off Rosie right.
See, she needs to petition the Diamondbacks front office about my second career as opening pitcher.
Awesome.
Welcome, y'all, for joining us this 4th of July special day edition of Rosie on the House. We're going to be spending the next 4 hours having a whole lot of fun educating you and protecting you. But right now, we have a very special guest I'd like to introduce. We're going to talk about the significance of the Declaration of Independence. And I'm not talking about menial little things you already know. This guy, I've never met him prior to this morning. We did have a short conversation on the phone last night. He has a PhD in history from ASU in U.S. history and the American West. Okay, so the guy has a PhD in my two favorite subjects. So I know we're going to get along and have a lot of fun together. Dr. Dean, thank you for getting up this morning and joining us at Rosie on the House.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
All right. So I want to talk about the Declaration of Independence. You know, I can remember my first grade class, Mrs. Prigg. In first grade, I was in the front row. By third grade, I was back in the corner and out in the hall a lot. But in first grade, I was up in the front row, Miss Prigg, in Welch Elementary School. And she always told us that the Declaration of Independence was really written to explain why we were fighting the war. And the authors were trying to explain to the American public, which didn't quite have the support they'd hoped it would have, and to the observing world, where they were hoping for the outside nations to come get involved and help us, this is why we're fighting the war. And I when you want to break up with someone, you write them a Dear John letter. She always called it a Dear George letter. It was really the Second Continental Congress writing a Dear George letter to King George about why we're breaking up. Now, that's how I learned it.
And that's a really good way of kind of thinking about what the Declaration of Independence does. It does articulate a series of grievances that the colonists felt at the time that they wanted to express to the king, the government. And it also declares to the world, the national stage, hey, we are declaring our independence. We don't want this system anymore. We want a new system and of self-government, and this is what it's going to be like. And so that message goes out not only internationally, but also to convince a lot of the people here in America at the time. Not everybody was on board with the revolution.
And well, we had the loyalists, right?
Right. About a third of the colonists were loyalists. They were deeply felt that responsibility to be loyal subjects of the king. You had about a third that were kind of revolutionary or thought about a change might be pretty good because it was a positive thing for them. And then there was about a third that were in the middle that could go kind of either way.
Okay. So they write this letter, and it's to King George. If you've never read the Declaration of Independence, you might want to know why a Home Improvement radio show on Saturday morning is talking about this. We're talking about this because it's my show, and it's one of my favorite subjects, for one. And for two, if we hadn't gone through this, our whole neighborhood and living environment would be a lot different. But here's the Declaration of Independence. Do you know how it starts?
Yeah. It says, when the course of human events becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bonds that they have connected with and form another one.
That's right. So it has reached that point that they feel it has come to this point in human events. They go on to say that they're so upset with the king. Here are the start of the sentence. He has refused to assent. He has forbidden his governors. He has refused to pass other laws. He has called together legislative bodies at places unusual. He has dissolved representative houses. I mean, they're really banging old King George. He has refused. He has endeavored. He has obstructed. He has made judges. He has erected a multiple of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people. He has kept among us in times of peace standing armies without the consent of our legislature. I mean, they were really like beating this guy up on the head and shoulders.
Well, it lists a variety of different grievances that are responses to what the English government had some actions that they had taken in the previous years in order to kind of help pay for the colonies, to help pay for the administration of the colonies, to kind of clamp down on the taxes and that kind of thing. And so they were really exercising their, we don't like this anymore. We're letting them know.
So no one's ever asked me to be king for a day. I'm still waiting to be asked to be starting pitcher for a night. Why doesn't King George just get it? I mean, it's all about, when I read it, it's like, okay, why doesn't the king just give a little bit? He has enough support in the country to probably send a delegation over here and give some legitimacy to the Second Continental Congress and give them some representation to continue the taxation, and all is good.
Well, I think that you have to understand kind of the mindset of a king during the rule of absolutism. They believed that everything was theirs. I mean, think about it. The land, you couldn't hunt on the land because the land was owned by the king. You couldn't fish in the rivers because the king owned the rivers and the fish in them. If the king owns everything and you were just a subject of that realm, then why would the king want to give up part of what he owns or what he felt like was his? So I think that he's not, you know, in an age of absolutism where these kings believed that they had God's right to tell people what to do and do things, I think that he's probably not going to give that stuff up so easily.
Well, and I guess he was the king of Great Britain, right? And he wasn't used to losing any wars.
Right. And as a monarch, you know, you don't give up power pretty easily. In fact, for the next, you know, 25, 50 years or so, several monarchs kind of lost their heads over that idea.
Gosh, man. We just finished our first ever tour to Europe, and that whole monarchical system just is completely devastating to me. The fact that I've born and raised and grew up in this country because of the Declaration of Independence. The whole time I was in Europe, I was just going, boy, I'm glad I wasn't born here. I'm glad I'm European descent. I'm glad I'm all American.
Absolutely, and I think that that's one of the things that as Americans that we pride ourselves in is this idea that we can govern ourselves. We don't need some king, some power to tell us what to do. As our Constitution says, it's we the people. And that's the formulation, the very ideas of our system is that we are in charge of our future, our destinies, not the whims of a king or monarch thousands of miles away.
And then there's the whole conspiracy theorists that talk about the elitist position of the Declaration of Independence. I want to get to that, but I want to get to a whole lot more. You're tuned in to Rosie on the House this morning on the special 4th of July edition, and we're going to be talking about the Declaration of Independence here with special guest Dr. David Dean, assistant professor of history at Grand Canyon University. We're going to have a blast talking about some of my favorite subjects and some of the more favorite things. Did the Declaration of Independence start the war? I would love to be Jay Leno, you know, that thing he used to do talking to the man on the street, you know, and all those dunces he would come across on the sidewalks of California. And then there's another one that they do now called Wally's World, I think. And I don't know where he is, but he comes across all those dunces. I'd love to take just a couple questions about the Declaration of Independence out on the street to see how many people could answer them. And they just don't understand the importance and the relevance and the significance of this particular document. And it's one of my ambitions this hour to give you some things you can take away on the Declaration of Independence. And you can be like the little Declaration of Independence nerd at the barbecue this afternoon. And you can take your finger and point it in your relative's chest and did you know and did you know and did you realize? We're going to give you all those talking points when we get back with Dr. Dean, assistant professor of history at Grand Canyon University.